Well, last week we could not catch up as Ben was covering the SEC media days, and we had baseball going on. A lot, though, to get caught up this week. And as always, our visits with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group. And you can find out more at bluetailmedicalgroup.com. Great alternative. If you're going to have surgery, before you do it, do yourself a favor. The doctors Bays, Crane, and Wolf at Blue Tail Medical Group can help you out. They'll keep you in the game immediately. Alternative to surgery, bluetailmedicalgroup.com. Hey, Ben, as always, good morning to you. How are things going?
I'm missing you, man. I was down there in Hoover last week, and Hoover. We didn't get a chance to catch up, but my God, we got twice as much to talk about now, so the takes will have to be twice as spicy today. There's a lot going on, my man.
There is a ton going on. The trade deadline for Major League Baseball will come today. And I know fans are curious what you think the Cardinals may do, or what you think the needs may be looking at the immediate and in the future. What do you think?
Well, they got needs. I don't know how they're going to address them or how much they will address them this time around. I hate to say it, but looking at this, it's sure kind of shaping up to be another trade deadline where the Cardinals don't really do much, or kind of do some now and later moves, roster maintenance type stuff. I would have liked to see them do something to, and hopefully they still can do something to help their rotation, not just for this season, but in the future. I think the idea of a true rental is probably too far gone. I mean, you don't want to do true rental moves when you got something like a 5% or less chance to make the playoffs. The one exception would have been, you know, a Scherzer, but it sure sounds like Max Scherzer is going to be chasing a ring. And it sure sounds like he, you know, there are a lot of teams that view him as a potential piece for a championship type rotation. And he has a full no trade clause, Dan. And I don't blame him for wanting to prioritize a chance to win. He's not getting any younger, and he can sign wherever he wants after this season. So it would have made sense at one point. But it probably, that window, I'm guessing, is probably closed too much. So we'll see what the Cardinals do. But I think they got to be thinking as much now about future seasons as they do this one, unfortunately. And it's going to be, if that's the case, it'll be 6 years, you know, consecutively where they haven't made a significant win now move at the deadline. Some don't count 15. I do. I think when you add, you know, go back then and you look at what Broxton did for that team and what Brandon Moss showed after a Holiday was hurt. But my God, we're talking about guys who haven't played here in a long time. And I know that folks are frustrated. I think the Cardinals have to find a way somehow, some way, Dan, to get past this point of not putting themselves in a spot to upgrade their roster as the season rolls along. I like what they did this offseason, and I like their pitching depth entering the year. But when red signs started to pop up at spring training, they didn't react. They didn't react when Flaherty got hurt. They've got to get back into the habit of helping their team on the fly and not waiting in between off seasons.
Minnesota is in town tonight. It's the first of three statue dedication, by the way, for Ted Simmons on Saturday. You know, something that has proven itself to me that it was the right decision to go with O'Neill, Bader, and Carlson. We can debate, obviously, what happened with Randy Arozarena, but that chapter is closed. This trio has been very good, and in particular, we're talking about Harrison Bader. When he and that trio is in the lineup, Ben, which has been few and far between. Guys have had stints on the IL. The one constant has been Carlson, but when they all three are in the starting lineup, the club is 7 games above 500, and Harrison Bader has been magnificent since the All-Star break.
Can't argue with that. He has been electric. He has been kind of the guy fanning the flame that's left on this team. I think that he's brought some energy, some swagger back when they were kind of down and searching. And I think he's made the outfield better across the board. His confidence is never lacking, Dan, but now we're starting to see some changes in approach that go with it. He's ironed out some of his splits. I think he's laying off those pitches that he used to swing at and not be able to make contact with, let alone hard contact. By shrinking the strike zone, he's allowed that power to come out even more. And man, it's fun to watch him play. And you say it all the time, to quote you, it's an entertainment business. And he's a hell of an entertaining player. You know, you just got to keep him going the right direction. Still kind of a small sample size here this season, but I think you're seeing some trends that really bode well for for his future. I said it entering this season, if he can iron out those splits, then he's an everyday starter. And this talk of him being a fourth outfielder goes away, and he's, you're happy to have him in center field hitting down in your lineup. Well, now he's raising a fair discussion of, should he be moved up? Should he be more than simply a defense first outfielder? He's doing some things. And I think we're seeing, you know, the guys around him respond. Carlson is set. He's not going anywhere. He's only getting better. And O'Neill, to me, I'm to the point where I had a lot of questions about Tyler, but if he's healthy, he's going to hit 30 home runs in a season. I just want to see him play 145 games in a year and see what those numbers look like then. So yeah, the outfield to me looks pretty good. And it makes you wonder too, maybe where would they be if they would have been healthier? Also, where would they be now if they would have maybe helped their pitching out a little bit more along the way? Because the outfield is no longer the worst part about this team, and it's not close.
No question. Let's go to the Blues. Brandon Saad is into the fold. Pavel Buchnevich is also in the fold for the Blues. And Doug Armstrong, boy, he doesn't wait. He's going to jump in, and it looks like he's got a couple of good guys that are a much-needed help up front. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, we'll see what Army has left, too. He doesn't sit around and wait. He's got to figure out what to do with Vlad. But I think these two guys help the Blues. Both maybe a little under the radar because, you know, they're not names that fans might not be as familiar with as some of the, you know, desired players that are out there, some of the big trade targets or some of the biggest free agents. But Buchnevich, he would have been second on this team in goals last season behind Ryan O'Reilly. Very complete forward and checked a big box there. And Saad does all of the things that you look at, you know, really Jaden Schwartz in his prime did, you know, the hard on pucks, the kind of the gritty, grimy things that he really takes pride in, that the Blues, I think, were kind of missing some last year. And he's going to bring an element of that to it. So I know Blues fans might not know much about these guys, but I think they're going to be pretty good fits for the way this team wants to play. And now we'll see what Army has left. The big question, of course, being what to do with Vladimir Tarasenko. Look, the Blues put him out there unprotected on the expansion draft list, which means that they were okay getting nothing for him. And it sure seems like teams are kind of holding that against Armstrong when it comes to trade negotiations, saying, hey, if you could let this guy walk for nothing, simply cap relief, then what are you expecting to trade him for? So he has said, Army has said, that he could see a scenario where Vladdy's back. I just have a hard time buying that. I'd love to see him maybe try to work a trade. I think you got to, for the chemistry of the team, get him out of there. And then what could you possibly package him in that gets something back? And I'm still, fingers crossed, hoping that Army pulls off some sort of huge splash addition. I would love to see a trade for Tkachuk. I think it would be awesome, and I think it would bring so much excitement to the season. Maybe it's not possible until after this season. I don't know. But I've learned to not count out Doug Armstrong because he's always got something working.
I really wanted to jump into a lot of football talk because you're connected with the college scene. And I'll start with Jim Sterk. He is out as the AD at Mizzou. The timing of it is interesting. But how do you view what's happened here with Jim Sterk and just the fact that you're doing it right before a football season? Where does Eli Drinkwitz fit into this? What are you hearing about that situation?
What I hear is that Mizzou took a look around, and the curators and President Moon Choi were feeling pretty good about their decision-making and how they kind of basically tore up Sterk's football list of potential hires and went out and kind of steered him toward Eli Drinkwitz. And they're emboldened by that. And they're looking around going, okay, all of these things are changing. The SEC is expanding, adding Texas and Oklahoma. Name, image, and likeness is here. They wanted a visionary, modernized leader, and that kind of led them to say, okay, you know, let's basically, I mean, not basically, they're paying Jim Sterk the remainder of his salary to not do his job, and they are confident, I think, they can go out and get somebody who they feel like is a better fit. Now, the timing is interesting because Sterk did have some bumps in the road that, you know, suggested that he might be kind of at odds or not have the full faith of the leadership at Mizzou. I mean, the search for Drinkwitz was crazy. He wasn't on the original list. They clearly landed the hiring and got the right guy, it seems, but he didn't have as much to do with that as he would have liked people to think. The flap with Don Staley was bad. He fought the NCAA to get the academic misconduct penalties that he inherited diminished. That didn't work. So there were some things, but a lot of those things that seemed to kind of blow over. And now Mizzou takes a risk in saying, entering a football season, let's go higher in AD. Now, I'm curious where they tailor this search. And I laughed that the search firm they're hiring is the same one that produced the football candidates the curators didn't like, which, if that's not college sports in a nutshell, what is? We'll see if they can go after a sitting Power 5 AD. Maybe they go to West Virginia and try to get Shane Lyons. Maybe they try to convince Ross Bjork to come back from Texas A&M. He's a Mizzou guy with Mizzou ties. Are they willing to step up and pay big money after paying Stark to walk away? Or do they kind of go the up-and-coming route, go get, you know, Gillen, who's at Appalachian State, who hired Drinkwitz the first time around there? Maybe look at Mark Allnut, who has Mizzou ties and has built his chops and is someday going to be in line for a big job. Bryn Baker at North Texas. I think they feel like they want to get, not necessarily they have to be younger, but maybe a little more modern, a little more forward thinking with some of the big changes that are coming in college sports. And if you're Jim Stirk, you probably don't love it, but you're also making, you know, you're making good money, what you would have made for working for doing whatever you want for the next 2 years.
Is this all come down to the name, image, and likeness stuff and trying to advance that? And they felt that, you know what, essentially he wasn't there. And Eli Drinkwitz was big into obviously going to Jeff City and trying to make his voice heard for his players. Is that what this is kind of about?
I think there could be a difference of opinion on that between, you know, Stirk and kind of more the old school approach to ADs versus the new ones that say, how do we turn this into a plus for us, which is clearly the camp that Eli is in. I don't think that was the reason. I think it was probably one of the reasons. I think the seeds of this, Dan, started with the coaching search for Eli Drinkwitz, and he was not on that list. And there were three pretty, I would say, lame names that were mentioned, and the curators thought, no, we need more sizzle. Let's go take a shot on this Eli Drinkwitz fella. And now they're emboldened by his success. And when you have when you're an AD at a Power 5 school, you're really graded on who you hire, specifically in your revenue sports. And the fact that that had to kind of get taken over, I think that was kind of the beginning of the long end here, even though there had been some positive things, and we should mention those. Jim Stirk did a good job in fundraising. He got Eli Drinkwitz. He got Eli Drinkwitz that practice facility along with the curators that he wanted to have. He hired Larissa Anderson, the softball coach, who's crushing it. So there were some good things, but I just think that once you have the curators kind of push their way into a coaching search like they did, it's probably not going to be a long-term solution. There was some thought that Stirk would, you know, be stepping down or retiring at the end of his contract. I think this just expedites the process, and they are really putting the pressure on themselves by injecting themselves and Moon Choi and the curators into this thing early to say, hey, if you're going to push a guy out who was doing arguably an okay job, you've got to go get somebody who's going to do better, and you better bring your checkbook to ensure that.
SEC realignment is coming, presumably, when you add Oklahoma and Texas, which – by all accounts, that is going to happen. What did you think about that, and then how does that affect Missouri?
Man, we were there at SEC Media Days, and the report came out. Brent Zwerneman from the Houston Chronicle broke it. And, you know, I know Brent a little bit. He's a great reporter. He doesn't throw stuff out there. You know, sometimes when something comes out, you look at who reports, and you go, I don't know about that. But he's not one of those guys. You go, man, there's got to be something to this. But I didn't realize at the time how much there was to it. It was way down the road. Texas A&M, I'm pretty sure, leaked it to coincide with their appearance at SEC Media Days. Ross Bjork, the AD there, just happened to show up. SEC athletic directors rarely show up at SEC Media Days to dump cold water on it, to try to fight back, to try to get this out that he didn't want it to happen. But Texas A&M pushing back has already faded, and this is going to happen. What's going to be curious is two things. On the SEC side, how do they divide up the divisions? I don't know how they're going to do it. I've heard a lot of ideas, but none from the actual league. And then on the other side, the Big 12 side, how long can they keep them? And what do they pay to make them? What are they going to have to pay to get out? Already the Big 12 has hit ESPN with a cease and desist, Dan, saying that they were colluding, trying to get other Big 12 teams to leave so the media rights deal would just dissolve. I wonder if the SEC will look at maybe trying to buy Texas and Oklahoma out of it to some degree on some sort of a loan in order to expedite this thing. I think y'all expect Texas and Oklahoma to have like one lame duck season in the Big 12, but you can't have multiple. I mean, that's just bad for everybody's business. So will there even be a Big 12 left? because they got like four more years left on this media rights deal that they're supposed to buy out of if they leave early. And that's going to be ripe territory for lawsuits and all kinds of fighting.
In terms of the media days, it's always fun to see these coaches, throw barbs at one another in the schools. So what'd you take away from that?
Well, if it wasn't for SEC expansion, I think Eli Drinkwitz might have won the event, man. I'll say this about Eli. I was a little skeptical when he was hired. You know, he seemed pretty sure of himself and, seemed a little prickly at times. I think he's settled in. And I also think that this guy's pretty smart. He brought a Steve Spurrier swagger to SEC Media Days, and Mizzou could use that. I mean, have a coach who's willing to poke Dan Mullen at Florida a little bit and mix things up and call out Ed Orgeron for not interviewing his defensive coordinator that he had to fire. And, you know, the league could use some of that. I think Mizzou thinks it's cool to have a coach who's willing to go there. Now, your team has to back it up. But if it's good enough, then that kind of becomes your brand. So I like his sense of humor. I like that he used the opportunity to really encourage folks to get the vaccine and told a personal story about why, when some coaches would not touch it, they acted like it was something they couldn't even possibly weigh in on. So he's smart. He thinks about what he's saying, but he's willing to have some fun too. So he knows more than anything, it's about winning games on Saturdays, but I think he appreciates some of the other things that go into it. And he's willing to mix it up a little bit, which as a media member, I certainly appreciate. So I thought he was a home run down there, man. And he made up for not being able to go last year because they had to cancel it due to COVID.
And he showed up with like some Jordans too, didn't he?
Oh yeah. That's every coach now. They wear these shoes that they probably can't even tell you the names of, but I'll give him this, man. It's all about the recruiting and he's interested in it and wants to, if you tell him to, I made fun of him. I said, "Hey, you going to break out your Gucci purse?" Because here in St. Louis at one of these fashion shows thing he went to for a charity, he was wearing one of these Gucci man bags. And I guess it was for the fashion show. And I had to give him a hard time about that. But I think if wearing a handbag gets him a five-star recruit, he'll wear 10 of them. And I think Mizzou fans will be okay with that.
Absolutely. I had the distinct pleasure to MC yesterday for the Ascension Charity Classic, the Legends Luncheon. You can be a golf fan or not, but to have Jack Nicklaus and Tom Watson on stage and doing a Q&A and being a part of that was awesome. I don't care if you're a golf fan or not. That is a big deal. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the Ascension Charity Classic is going to do in late September. But to have those guys in town, Ben, it was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congrats on hosting that. I heard you did a good job. I heard rave reviews.
Well, thank you.
I almost wonder, do you when you're talking to those guys, do you get any tips? Like anything you can pass along, like to folks? Here's why I ask. Dan, I haven't golfed since I was like 18.
Yeah.
I don't think I've golfed sober since I was like 14.
Sure.
I'm in this tournament coming up like in a week that a friend of mine, like I was like, I did the thing where like, I was like, I don't play. And I'm like, I was like, I don't not play because of, you know, I'm not good. I don't play. And they're like, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. It's a scramble, whatever. So I'm playing golf for the first time in like, you know, almost more than a decade.
Yeah. You'll be awful
next week. I need some tips.
I didn't ask for tips. I did go, I was back at the VIP reception with those guys.
Humble brag.
And it was awesome. I mean, just to be able to sit there and listen to them talk and speak and how they handled media, how they handled the sponsors, they get it, man. They know their place in what this means to the community, and that's what I took away. I did not ask for golfing tips, although I would love to get one, but they did have great advice for, hey, if you're a kid out there, you should play every sport until you know for sure that you're going in that golf direction. And
I like that advice.
Yeah, I was standing there with Harrison Bader, and I said, boy, does that make a lot of sense? And he was like, absolutely it does. Harrison was there. There was a lot of VIPs that were at this event, and it was just cool. It was neat to see whether it was dignitaries in politics or CEOs or Harrison Bader, but people that were there that were in awe of watching greatness, and they were hanging on every word, man. So it was really cool. It was a neat thing.
Very good. Well, I think St. Louis can plant its flag as a place to come put on a kick-ass golf tournament.
No doubt.
We saw that. And whether it's gymnastics or the Winter Classic or whatever, man, if you want to be well-received and you want to have an attentive sports fan base, then come do your event here. And hopefully that word is spreading, and certainly it seems to be in golf.
I've got a shameless plug. Sunday night, 10:30 on the Scoops TV show on Fox Channel 2. Nolan Gorman will be my guest. John Kelly will be my guest. And Pat Hughes, longtime voice of the Cubs. He has baseball voices. He does these compilations of, and he edits them, writes them, finds all this historic calls and whatnot of great baseball voices. He'll be my guest on Sunday. So Nolan Gorman, Pat Hughes, JK, coming up on Sunday. I always ask you, what are you working on for the Post-Dispatch this weekend?
Well, this is perfect. So I wanted to ask you if I'm off on this. I put on my conspiracy hat this week when I saw Jaden Schwartz sign that contract with Seattle. And, like, you know, happy trails to Jaden Schwartz. Awesome guy. So important to the Blues winning the cup and great player. You know, one of the most hard-nosed guys the Blues have had, and everybody loves him, and you love to see him get a good deal. However, did you kind of do a double take at the way this worked with the expansion draft? So that Seattle gets to take Vince Dunn in the expansion draft after having an exclusive window to negotiate with Schwartz and the other free agents. And if they would have signed Schwartz before the expansion draft in that exclusive window, then they would have not been able to take Dunn. But they didn't sign Schwartz. They just apparently got really, really close to signing Schwartz. They take Dunn in the expansion draft.
So you're going two for one on this.
And then they take, and then they just so happen to finish up that negotiation with Schwartz and get both of them. Like, what? I'm just a little confused. And I know the league had to sweeten the pot for the expansion teams because for too long they were too bad, and they've clearly, you know, I'm almost wondering if they get a little too much now. Like, Vegas doesn't have a team. They don't have to lose a player in the expansion draft because they're one of the newer teams. Dan, they went to the Cup final in their first year. They've never missed a playoff. Why the hell couldn't Vegas give up a player in the expansion draft? I think they might have overcorrected this thing a little bit. So I wrote about that for the paper. It's at stltoday.com. And I'm just curious if you're with me on this. You've followed hockey a long time. What the Blues kind of got the raw end of the deal here.
Well, I would say so, because of the two, I hate seeing Vince Dunn go. I'm a big, big Vince Dunn guy. And if you knew the direction they were going to go, you would have made that one player available in the draft. But you were probably going to lose one or the other. It was going to work out you know what I mean? It was going to work out one or the other. And I'm with you. I mean, it's a kick to the stomach, so to speak, for lack of a better term, to lose both. But I do understand it, and I'm okay with it. I really am.
I think you got to tell, okay, if you choose to negotiate with a free agent during the window and you later sign that player after the window closes, that's fine, but you got to give back the player you took in the expansion draft. Because, I'm not saying that Seattle was, like, totally twisted or had, like, terrible motives here, but I am saying that it presents a situation in which you could have a free agent who wants to go to Seattle or any other expansion team say, hey, I'll agree to this deal. Don't do it yet. Go get one of my teammates, and then I'll sign it. Like, the ability for that to exist without checks is a little wonky, I think. So, but maybe by the time the next team rolls around, they will have had that sorted out. I don't think the Blues will be getting any help, though.
All right. Look forward to that in the Post-Dispatch this weekend. Ben, as always, love catching up with you, and I'm sure I'll probably see you at the ballpark at some point this weekend. Thanks for doing it.
You bet, man. Talk to you soon.
You got it. That's Ben Fredrickson, and again, we're always brought to you by BlueTailMedicalGroup.com.